This is Mark Steiner, and welcome to another one of our Center for Emerging Media podcasts, this time with Governor Robert Ehrlich, who was governor of the state of Maryland and a leading figure in the Republican Party, as we seek his wisdom and thoughts.
Wisdom? Thank you, Mark.
You like that? On the Republican convention. So you...
I'm still as surprised as everybody for your first question, by the way. I met her one time, and I thought it was going to be Romney. So.
You did meet her. You met her when you were both governors?
Yeah, you know what? I think it was at a RNC, one of those big black tie events with a couple thousand people. I have a recollection of meeting her, but no recollection of anything beyond that.
So you don't really know her, but
no, I do not know her.
I wonder though if you think this puts the end to the argument on either side of the table, Republicans or Democrats, about questions of experience and national experience and all the rest, but because they've been laying that on Barack Obama. Now we have Sarah Palin, who has, people could argue, less or even or equal of lack of experience in terms of governing.
I would say that it mitigates, it doesn't eliminate it, since in one case we're talking about the top of the ticket, in the other case we're talking about second on the ticket. But clearly it makes it less of a relevant charge. But quite frankly, Mark, that was never one of my biggies in the first place. I think experience is relative. I do think that and this is my prejudice from being governor, that it is much, much different being a legislator than being an executive, different than I even thought and I had observed for years, obviously being 16 years in two legislatures. It is just a different job. It's a different ball game. When you're chief executive, it's just you. You're not part of 100. You're not part of whatever happens to be House of Delegates or the Congress of the United States. It's just you, and that's a far different experience.
Well, I wonder that when you look at Governor Palin and the choice he made, some people argue that that he made this choice because he could not go with the ones he really wanted, which were people like Senator Lieberman or with Tom Ridge, because they were pro-choice, because they weren't conservative enough, and he needed to shore up his conservative base to make sure they came out in November. So this was a position he was kind of pushed into. And I'm wondering what you think about that, especially you as a kind of a pro-choice Republican.
I think that it's Senator Lieberman is one category, and the rest of them are a different category. Senator Lieberman really could not be chosen. And that's just it's a Republican convention. You probably need to pick a Republican. Democratic convention, you need to pick a Democrat. So I think Senator Lieberman, they're very close friends. I thought he gave a very strong speech last night. He's obviously a war hawk, and they have a relationship that, in my view, would most likely result in a very high cabinet position for Senator Lieberman, maybe Secretary of State, Secretary of Defense, should Senator McCain win the race. So, I place that in one category. That's a different animal. As far as the other folks, I'm a Ridge guy. I like Ridge. I think he did a very good job as governor, former congressman, great experience, Homeland Security, did a good job. And clearly there are some who said, look, it has to be pro-life. As you know, that is not my view. It's not the view of many Republicans. What decisions were made and why, I was not privy to. But your point is, I guess, that he didn't need that headache. And with the sticks that he has thrown and rocks he has thrown at Republicans or at the Republican base in the past, he probably did not need that headache. Now, let me just say this. In a different circumstance, without that particular history of a maverick and independent, could he have particularly chosen someone with different views on abortion? Most likely, yes, in my view.
So, it's interesting. I was reading both the Wall Street Journal and the New York Times this morning, two New York-based newspapers. Very different views on Governor Palin. The Wall Street Journal saying that that this is a striking fear and loathing in the Beltway class. As they put it, a full-throated rebellion against a non-domesticated conservative.
What does that mean, non-domesticated?
I love that. Non-domesticated conservative who might pose a threat to their coronation of Barack Obama and the return of right. Camelot on the Potomac. And so, but then you have the other side saying, the New York Times, clearly you have very different editorial positions.
Yes.
To say the least. And they point out that Governor Palin spoke to a party advocating Alaska secession from the nation, saying they could survive on their own.
That's really a silly charge. I mean, if you want to disagree with her, I think it's a bad choice to do that. But you know, I greeted lots of groups that came to Maryland, necessarily agree with. I mean, she was never a member of that party. That's just a silly thing. Mark, I think they both are guilty of too much hyperbole here.
Uh-huh.
I think that here's the deal. When it came down to it, he saw in Governor Palin himself a lot of aspects of himself. The maverick, the reformer, the anti-establishment, the budget hawk, the, in her case, lone wolf out there, crying against the establishment, fighting and doing it her own way, which is what he has done in life, let alone on Capitol Hill for the past, you know, 60-odd years, or now 70 years. So I think he saw a lot of aspects in her that appealed to him, and ultimately that's what he decided to go with. That's very McCain-like, by the way. He's always been this way. He's always been a contrarian. He's always done his own thing. It's one of the reasons why he's had so many fights, intramural fights, with the Republican Party.
Now, I wonder, you're not there in St. Paul, Minnesota, right?
Correct.
Not this convention. You are not a delegate, but you are the
yeah,
kind of...
Yeah, I've never done that. I've been in elected office a long time, but I've never wanted to take up a slot. I've never run for delegate or wanted to have any formal part in any convention. I think it's for the people who really, in both parties, by the way, who really do the work, who man the phones and do the door-to-door and all that.
Well, aren't you like, you really are in some ways the titular head of the state Republican Party.
Right. Well, I guess that is. Titular head means...
Well, who else?
I guess there's no pay grade there, so
there's no pay grade. But I mean, but who else could claim the mantle of head of the Republican Party of the state of Maryland?
Well, no. Listen, as I told you off air, I've probably done a dozen interviews over the past 48, 72 hours, and so clearly, obviously, the press feels that's the case, and we have maintained some profile. And I certainly go out and not bashful on my radio show, and not bashful in giving speeches and giving interviews about my views. So I think that's fair.
So I wonder where you think this election might be going. We've seen the latest polls that now seem to have Barack Obama kind of shooting ahead a little bit to 50
points.
That was
a bounce from the Democratic convention, right?
And that Palin, while grabbing on with, I think, the heart of the Republican Party, some people argue may not grab on with the rest of the heart of America.
Well, can I make a case to you?
Sure, you can.
History will back me up.
Yep.
You and me and your listeners, most of them, I guess, we're all junkies. We love this stuff. We live it. We argue it. We talk about it. We are not the mass of voters. When it comes down to it, it's generally the top of the ticket. In almost every case, with respect to the individual voter, it's the top of the ticket. And you know that, and I know, whether it's governor or president, for that matter. And so I think we like to play in – now, nobody's talking about Joe Biden at all right now, and that was all the news for a couple of days. And obviously the fact that she is a female is historic. But once the campaign begins in earnest after this convention, the debates begin, the big rallies occur, and mistakes, by the way, take place. Because, as you know, Mark, events, Russia invades Georgia, somebody makes a faux pas in a debate. These count in close races. And clearly, Obama right now has a bounce from his convention. I believe McCain will have a bounce from his. I believe when the thing starts in earnest next week, It's not Labor Day. It's after the conventions, in my view, is when the campaign really begins. It's going to be pretty close, and we'll see what happens from there.
I wonder here locally, at home, some of the hottest races the hot race between a Republican and Democrat is in the first district between Craddeville and Harris.
Yeah, I would disagree with your premise. I don't think it's a hot race.
Okay.
I mean, every poll I've seen has Harris way ahead.
Well, okay. Well, I've seen some of the polls that have Harris ahead, but people think things could move in November. Who knows if it does or not?
Right. No, it's a race that Democrats are pouring money into. That's certainly fair.
Oh yes, absolutely. Standing Hoyer is pouring a ton of money into this race to see Craddeville beat Harris. But the question I have for you is: I've always been curious about this. I never had a chance to ask you. I mean, you really backed Dr. Harris in this race.
Correct.
And you clearly wanted to see Wayne Gilchrist out of there. So The question I have, though, Harris's views, at least on the larger social and cultural concerns of society, don't seem to be yours. And I ask this question because of this. I'm curious, how important a factor is that for you? I asked you sort of also in terms of the choice that Senator McCain made. And you know, you, I know you have your economic point of view and you're a solid Republican in that part, but
social... No, I have libertarian tendencies. We've discussed that for years, me and you.
So why do you...
ideological spectrum, Mark, if you can picture Wayne Gilchrist on one end and Andy Harris on the other, I'm probably right in the middle of the two. I think it's fair to say. I think you might agree with that. So your question is why, and it came down to a couple of primary reasons. First, Wayne and I, we've never had any personal issues. It's never been personal with us. We've always gotten along fine. We're very different people. But we obviously had some issues in Congress concerning, I was a whip, and he thought he had his own views on procedural votes, and kind of some arcane stuff here, but He's always certainly done his own thing, and I think doing your own thing is great. I've certainly acted contrary to the Republican platform at times and all that, but when you do wear a uniform, at least on procedural votes in Congress, I think you have an obligation to wear the uniform. And Wayne had his other views. Secondly, Wayne went out of his way to embarrass me, as you know, to testify against our slots bill in Congress, which was not really his business. It was a state bill, not a federal bill, and it's funny, he didn't testify against the O'Malley slots bill, but only against the Ehrlich slots bill, and I really took that as an affront and was unhappy, and I was clearly unhappy in a very public way. Third, he went out of his way to not cooperate with our administration on a number of ag and environmental issues, and you and I have had this discussion again for many years. I'll stand by my environmental record against any governor in the country, but Wayne liked to do his own thing at all times, and that was something not appreciated by me nor members of our administration. Fourth, Andy Harris was our whip in the Senate and worked with us very closely, and despite differences on issues, as you point out, worked in a cooperative way and understood what we needed to get done as an administration. And finally, fifth, Mark, when you are in Maryland and you have one of two safe Republican seats, and Mike Miller, Mike Bush, and Steny Hoyer, and Elijah Cummings, all these guys go to work, Martin O'Malley for that matter, go to work every day, they're just hammering on you, and they're beating you, and they're trying to eliminate you, and trying to really go after you. You really need some people in your corner. You need a party builder. You need somebody willing to go out there and build a viable two-party state. Wayne was never interested in that. He never did it and did not view that as part of his job description. I do.
Well, two final things.
Did that answer your question?
It did answer the question. I wonder, in the larger question I was asking, like when you look at the, what happens next to the larger kind of cultural questions, whether it's the right to choose, I can think of a number of other things, that could be decided inside the next Supreme Court. I mean, where do you place that in the importance on the political spectrum in terms of who you like to see making the decisions?
Well, I'm a libertarian-influenced conservative, and I would like to see public policy follow those general parameters. And so I would look to judges, and by the way, this is certainly what I followed when I made my judge selections, those who wish to be judges, not legislators, those who wish to follow the law, not create the law. So I think that sense of judicial restraint was always important to me when I picked circuit court judges, and it's going to be something that I think that John McCain will be better on than Barack Obama, for example, who I believe will appoint judges who act as legislators, not as judges.
So give me right now your prognostication about what you think is going to happen here in this election, if you can do it in a nonpartisan way. It might not
you know
be.
What? I can't. That's unfair. But I don't know. I can tell you this. The Democrats have a major advantage this cycle from the war, unpopularity of an incumbent Republican president, the housing crisis, all this stuff. It's made for a generic about plus 10 to plus 15, which is a huge advantage Democrats have in this election cycle. You see it reflected in the House and Senate races, Mark, where Democrats are going to pick up any number of seats probably in the Senate and in the House. But you haven't seen it reflected so much at the presidential level. Obama's had a very difficult time reaching 50. I believe after this convention, it's going to be extremely close. So clearly it's a Democratic year. Clearly Obama has the advantage, but the numbers, and I believe, by the way, this is the reason he was so aggressive in his convention speech, very aggressive toward John McCain. He's not pleased because his campaign is not where they believe they should be, given the fact it's a Democratic year. I think McCain is probably the right kind of Republican to win in this environment.
Governor Robert Ehrlich, good to talk to you as always.
My pleasure, buddy.
Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, bye.